glory shall unfold. My Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that may my love be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? From his best throne, salvation to bestow, but men made strange, and none the longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometimes they took his way, and hear his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to the King. Then crucify his all their breath, and for his death they fast and cry. Might I stay and sing, no story so divine? Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days would gladly spend.
God calls us to worship in spirit and in truth, with both deep sadness and indescribable hope, as we reflect on all that Jesus went through for us. And we praise God, who goes beyond all our expectations. Good morning, church, on this beautiful Sunday morning. God is good. Let us be still for a few moments as we individually and collectively come before the Lord in reverence with music, hymns, and prayers. Lord, the disciples gathered around you, trying so hard to answer your questions and to cope with difficult news. We come before you now and ask your blessings as we seek to understand more of your story, your tough and challenging but so good a story of salvation for all creation. Amen.
Praise to the holiest in the height, and in the depth we praise. In all his words most wonderful, most sure in all his ways. Loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. want that a higher gift than grace should flesh and blood refine. God's presence and his very self and essence all divine. O generous love that he who sought in man for man the form,
humility, we acknowledge before you that often we behave like Peter, hearing your word, but going off on our own track, not wanting to follow your path, especially if it looks rough. We acknowledge before you that there are times when we desire the world, but don't give much thought to our soul. Lord, we acknowledge before you that there are times when we are a stumbling block to others and to ourselves, times when we look for complications instead of just following you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to follow you more faithfully. In Jesus' name, Amen. The prayer of the week. O God, whose words burn like a fire within us, grant us a bold and faithful spirit, that in your strength we may be unafraid to speak your word and follow where you lead. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever. Amen. Our first reading is Psalm 26, verses 1 to 8. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In a world where people walk in darkness, let us turn our faces to the light, to the light of God revealed in Jesus, to the day star scattering our night. For the light is stronger than the darkness, and the day will overcome the night. For the shadow lingers all around us, let us turn our faces to the light. In a world where suffering of the helpless casts a shadow all along the way, let us bear the cross of Christ with gladness and proclaim the dawning of the day. For the light is stronger than the darkness, and the day will overcome the night. For the shadows linger all around us, let us turn our faces to the light. Let us light a candle in the darkness, in the face of death a sign of life, as a sign of hope where all seemed hopeless, as a sign of peace in place of strife. For the light is stronger than the darkness, and the day will overcome the night. For the shadows linger all around us, let us turn our faces to the light. Let us turn our faces to the light.
This morning's gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 21. Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our light.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. This morning, I would like to reflect on the relationship between the Hebrews, Jesus, and the temple in Jerusalem. I think this may help us to understand our own relationship with the church building. The temple was the center of Israel's national and religious life. This was the place where God chose to dwell. It was where sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins could be made. It was where the country's leading teachers could be heard in the vast temple courts. It was where pilgrims gathered in tens of thousands, especially at Passover time, to sing and pray to the one true God. For a devout Jew arriving at the Mount of Olives and looking down at the imposing landmark that was the temple must have stirred up extraordinary feelings that for us would be very difficult to begin to understand, because in the Jewish consciousness, the temple was the center of the universe, where the place where the Spirit of God presence will guarantee order and balance in the created world. For the people of Israel, it was unthinkable to contemplate the idea of a possible destruction of the temple, as that will mean to them literally the end of time. And in many ways, it was the end of time when the temple was destroyed 70 years after Jesus' death, a tragic event that provoked the Jewish diaspora. If the temple had such a significance in Jewish history, I find this quite intriguing, because Jesus, it seems to me, according with the Gospels, had such a contempt for the temple. It is quite evident that Jesus had a conflictive relationship with the temple as an institution. He had many reasons to be disillusioned with the way how the temple was used and run. Jesus felt that the temple had failed to fulfill its purpose. Worst of all, in Jesus' eye, the worst aspect was the unhealthy dependency between the people, the priests, and the temple itself. Jesus felt offended that not God, but the temple had become an end in itself. The story and mistakes of the temple can be a metaphor for us today. 2020 has been the year of a worldwide pandemic, that has changed the way how we live. The freedom we used to enjoy to go anywhere we like and to do anything we want, that quite often we take it for granted, was suddenly interrupted by lockdown, social distancing, and a series of important do's and don'ts from the government. This new reality and our new normal has forced us to find new creative ways to relate to each other and do things. For us, the Christian community, being unable to gather in the church building has been a dramatic, even traumatic experience that has forced us to find new ways to worship together. The lockdown has also highlighted the kind of relationships we had with our church building. We are some way from back to normal, but as we prepare to have our first act of public worship next week, with limited number of chairs and people allowed, and with many members still unable to gather, it is important we seize this situation an opportunity to rethink our relationship with the church building. What for we have a building? What is the purpose of our building? These are basic but important questions. Our church building is a landmark in Milton Keynes. It hosts not just religious activities, but many different kinds of events. It is multipurpose, and it serves the community at large. However, it is very important that all the time we remember that our church building is not just another venue for social activities in Milton Keynes. Above all, its main purpose is the Missio Dei, the mission of God. This is fundamental. This is the reason of being for our church building. This is our truth. This should be our vision for our church building and inform everything we do and never do in the building. As we began to explore what we need to do to guarantee the future of our church building and its structures of management and governance, we need to have open mind and the courage to make the changes urgently we need to do. We have this great responsibility in our shoulders to remain as we are with the structures we have is not an option. In a fast-changing world, staying the same will lead us to decline and irrelevance. As the Ecumenical Council began this process exploring what alternatives we have, we need constructive contributions. We need to think outside the box. We need to have imagination. And above all, we need to do it in a prayerful manner, seeking God's guidance, listening to where the Spirit is guiding us, and also, very importantly, listening to one another. not being able to gather in our church building for so many months, has given us the opportunity to discover new things about our worship community. Without a building, we have become the WhatsApp Living Stones community that gather together for daily morning and evening prayer. These prayers also are available in our website. The WhatsApp group have more than 100 subscriptions, and we have an average of around 5 to 10 responses after daily prayers. We know that many do not respond for whatever reason they have. But also, we know that the average use of our daily prayers from our website is about 15, with a range between 5 to 32. Last week, somebody wrote to us, Pat from Sheffield. She wrote this: I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate your daily postings of prayer and worship in your website. I find your content very sustaining. My present Anglican church has not opened as yet, and sadly, I have to say, it hasn't offered much support during this difficult time. I find your daily offerings echo my thoughts and feelings very much, so I just want to say thank you. The Sunday service posted in our website get an average of 50 visitors each week, between 35 and 60. And we know, thanks to Ian, that the last week we had 52 visitors. Plus, the WhatsApp Living Stone community. At the last Ecumenical Council, Glynn reported praise from the Bishop of Oxford for Cornerstone's daily service on WhatsApp. Cornerstone being the only church in Milton Keynes delivering daily worship. Because we didn't have a building to worship, we have discovered new opportunities for ministry that is sustaining people on their spiritual journey. The most important, we have rediscovered that the church is not a building, it's the people. It is you and me. Are we going to stop this when eventually everything goes back to normal life? I hope not. We also have discovered that many people, sadly, have been left behind. The ones who don't have access to the internet or new generation of mobile phones. Also, we have become more aware that some people aren't able to join worship in the building because different reasons. Some are housebound, others affected by the lack of public transport on Sunday. How can we reach out to them too? This question is a heavy burden in my heart. Without a building where to worship, we have learned a lot of things about ourselves. How vulnerable we are, and also how resilient we could be. and above all, how creative we can be if we are allowed to be creative. As we began to worship again in the church building, for the time being we may not be able to be physically together in the same place. However, we will be together because we are one body in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us bring what is on our minds and ask for God's guidance. Lord, I love the place where your glory abides. We pray for the church, where we cannot yet all gather together in our buildings. We pray for the preparations to open our building for more activity, especially for public worship. We thank you for our ecumenical partnership and our life as pilgrims together. Today, the wider church remembers a nonconformist minister from Bedford, John Bunyan, writer of Pilgrim's Progress and hymns such as Who Would Truvalla See? God of peace, who called your servant John Bunyan to be valiant for truth, grant that as strangers and pilgrims, we may at last rejoice with all Christian people in your heavenly city. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world with its current emphasis on what divides us, nation from nation, black from white, haves from have-nots. We pray that by your mercy you will touch the hearts of all in authority and enter the hearts of us all, that we will again begin to see our earth as one and seek to establish a society of fair shares and a commonwealth to replace our current selfish systems, which leave the majority in want. Loving God, you show yourself to those who are vulnerable and make your home with the poor and the weak of this world. Warm our hearts with the fire of your Spirit. Help us to accept the challenge of these times. Protect the healthy, we pray, calm the frightened. Give courage to those in pain, comfort the dying. Console the bereaved, we beg you, and strengthen those who care for the sick. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our city, Milton Keynes, for increased economic activity to create jobs to replace those that are being lost. We pray for all those who are going to be unemployed at the end of this month when furlough reduces. For all who are in danger of losing their homes at the end of next month when the current protections against eviction cease to operate. We pray for all our schools and colleges as young people get back to full-time education, for teachers and support staff and all pupils, especially those starting a new school. We want to say thank you for our green city and ask that you will guide and prosper its life in these difficult days. We pray that you will guide each person, young and old, to care for our environment and provide a life together where all are housed and fed. We pray that our young people will learn that we all depend upon one another and that they will, in their turn, want their city to be peaceful and prosperous. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we pray for ourselves, our family, and this fellowship of Christ the Cornerstone. We pray for your guidance in all our activities in the coming week, be it work or school, volunteering or caring. We pray for all on holiday, for all who are ill or indisposed, and any that are in need of our prayers. May we, your people, using all our energy and imagination, and trusting in your steadfast love, be united with one another in conquering all disease and fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, loving God, that you do not call us to anything without also giving us the resources to cope. You do not ask us to go anywhere you haven't been. You call us to take up our cross, and we come to you with fear and trembling, but knowing that ultimately your way is the best. Be with us, Lord, in the coming week, and help us to understand as we follow you faithfully. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen to him during those last days, but he did not flinch or back away. He shared his vision with his disciples and us too. As we begin another week, may the Lord remind you to constantly look to him in the good and the tough times. May he guide you as you go in his name, so that your feet may walk humbly in righteousness. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you and all those whom you love today and always. Amen. Church, be Christ's eyes, ears, feet, hands, and mouth in the community where you live, where you work, and where you play, as you love and serve him. Amen.